Okay, we can start now. So, how many of you have ever designed a user interface in this room? I think it's an easy question, right? And how many of you feel confident that your design wouldn't harm any user? One, two, three, more or less. And how many of you feel confident that you never manipulated any user? More complicated now, one and a half? Okay. So, well, I suppose this is not is equally easy for everyone to, or we are not equally confident in answering this question. Should we care about the potential harm that comes from user interfaces? Well, the internet, websites, and applications in general are full of something that in the studies of human-computer interaction we have coined as manipulative design, deceptive design, or more commonly known sometimes like dark patterns. Out of curiosity, have ever anyone heard about this term before? In this room? Hola, wow, didn't expect this. Better, but I didn't expect this at all. But well, great. It's going to be a great discussion then. So well, manipulative designs are everywhere. So these deceptive designs are design features that subvert, impair, or distort the ability of the user to make informed decisions in relation to detailed systems, and that as a consequence is related to a lot of different types of harms, like privacy harms, financial harms, attention harms, like also sort of psychological harms as well. So, well, a lot of you already knew dark patterns, but I'm sure you're familiar that you have experienced some of them possibly on cookie consent banners, like that they are trying to steer users to give our privacy, or you have maybe seen different types of gamification or gambling strategies in different apps that normally they shouldn't have this type of mechanisms. So we have these patterns in social media, on e-commerce, on video games, and I want to make the last quick test, like how many of you used the application of AliExpress? All of you are very familiar with manipulative design so far, I can imagine, because that application, let's say hotels website that offers you different hotels and indicates you in very bold letters that, well, there's few rooms, there's some urgency in here that maybe you should take into account to book this hotel as soon as possible. Or, for instance, different types of services. You're going to buy something, you have selected your product, service, etc., and suddenly you are nagged with more different types of fares that already, again, plays with the expectations of the users because they are selected something, but they are already selecting something, but they are given more new options, and also with misleading information, not only about the colors that you can take other fares with more, paying some more, that are more highlighted, but also because it is misleading when users sometimes don't understand that the gray one would be the cheapest, because the first thing they see is that it's 100 euros and their others are 20 or 50, so they think that these are cheaper, right? So these are some basic examples. You can put the names of the companies or not, because this is everywhere in all types of services. So although in some cases you might feel you are immune towards these patterns, I must tell you, you are not. But it's true that some people suffer the consequences of manipulative designs more than others. Deceptive practices is that they exploit different aspects of users' vulnerability. And that's why vulnerability is so important. So, for instance, We have the social aspect of vulnerability when people feel lonely, when people feel the need to belong to something. Well, these patterns also exploit that, right? The famous fear of missing out, well, is an expectation of the social aspect of vulnerability. Also, some interaction drivers, like the impossible trade-offs that these companies, these providers give you when you are asked to choose between give me your privacy or give me your money, there is a huge part of population that always is going to give it the privacy because they are not, they cannot give that money, right? And we also have seen this in the consent or pay model that we recently had in Europe. Or we have some agency drivers, like we feel like the people sometimes have problems in perceiving the time. These designs also play with that. Or to what extent, or with the extent to which that users feel they can do nothing about it, as they feel that this lack of self-efficacy, they cannot protect themselves, they feel they cannot, platforms use that in their benefit. So all of these aspects that are also related to the user's context drives their vulnerability to these deceptive practices, and therefore make users more likely to interact with these practices and be more harmed. About, let's educate users, right? We believe that if users know more about their the digital environment, they will be more protected. But for me, like both approaches, the regulatory aspect and the educational one, both remain under this logic that users always have to resist something. They always have the burden of doing something. For regulators, and also regulators that advocate for the idea of education, they say, okay, as long as there's a rejection option, the user is okay. There's no problem with it, right? And we know that's not true, right? We actually we see that this creates a lot of power imbalances, and actually we already have a plenty of experience with an alternative to off rejection for users that is not really working very well, which is the cookie consent banners that we have for a long time in the European Union so far, and we already have some lessons learned from that, right? So with these kind of interventions, it's like expecting like the people that to know everything about the food composition and say, okay, now you know everything, now you don't get toxic food. It's your problem, right? It's your choice. If you didn't make the good choice, you're gonna be poisoned. Have fun. It would be the same, but in the digital landscape. And we also have some interventions addressed to designers and developers in different ways. For instance, we have tools that try to automatize the analysis of deceptive designs to try to warn designers and developers not to implement certain practices. But at the same time, we know that deceptive practices are not a matter of one color, one button, one position. The right is good and the left is bad. We know that's not how it works. Therefore, these kind of automatizations and tools, while they have merit, of course, and they will contribute, they are not the solution either, right? Actually, well, emotional triggers without being aware that this can be actually more harmful than being more transparent about what you want. Or they understand, they implement these principles, this idea of trust or user experience, in a more instrumental way. They don't necessarily, they want to generate trust, not for the sake of trust for the user, but they want to generate trust because they want to engage the user into whatever product they're doing. And there's also tension between these values implementation and the context they are working in, like the companies they are working in, right? So in some cases, there are organizational constraints, like they don't feel they have the power, they don't feel they have the ethical ownership within their companies, so they cannot do much. But at the same time, we also have we shouldn't ask designers to take decisions that maybe they shouldn't be taking, right? We cannot ask them for knowledge that they are not ethical philosophers, so we shouldn't always ask for that. So the result of this is that designers sometimes end up also normalizing manipulative practices, but not necessarily by choice, just by necessity. So, and in here, like, we know that UX has been a bit underdeveloped in the free and open software communities, but we are seeing a shift. Like, we see like more and more projects that are prioritizing fairness, ethics, accessibility, and different types of more user experience related values. So to me, the open source design community has the perfect opportunity to fill this gap and to actually make the change in this topic. So the open source community has the knowledge, the structure, and the dynamics to make successful community supported projects that can reach larger audiences and that maybe other kind of stakeholders don't have, like scholars, that they don't have that knowledge. And also open source project, an open source project on free patterns would benefit all kinds of companies, but mostly those designers that do not necessarily feel confident with some ethical decision making, or that they simply don't have such a knowledge and they don't have to have it. But also, it will support all kinds of stakeholders by demonstrating that there are other ways of doing a fair, harmless UX design. To reach out and contact me, here's my information, and thank you so much.
Manipulating, but like it's like communication. So every time you communicate to somebody, you're kind of manipulating them. So where do you draw the line? Because design is manipulative because you want them to be something, or you want a user experience, for instance, to be smooth. So one way to be manipulative, but in a good way. So how do you know?
Okay, so your question is if there's a way of being manipulative in a good way, and like because design is inherently manipulative and communicating that they didn't initially want to, right? And therefore, when with supposedly persuasive design techniques, we are actually exploiting these users' vulnerabilities, is what we're talking about manipulation, manipulative design, or deceptive design, right? So that's how I say it. I don't think it's an easy question, and that's why I've done this for 4 years, because it's not easy. But to me, that would be the route to take to understand this problem in order to make effective solutions. Because I think in the regulatory aspect, they are having the same problem. Like, where do they can draw the line if everything is persuasive, right?
Have you heard of a thing called HDI, because obviously all
about this, like, feel free to join, because I think it sounds very inspiring.
1 minute left.
Okay.
I think there's kind of a question here. Is it a quick one, do you think?
Yes, for me, it's about a thing that I find very manipulating. Do you know that you are in your European Union or not?
Yeah.
Yes, because the regulation of European Union on the internet side impose, if there are cookies, the possibility to reject them. And so the message I encounter often, if you accept cookies or parameters 1.